Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here tonight and we are waiting for you to join in. Come on in while we are getting set up.
Well, we trust that each of you have had a great day today as we prepare for this time. It's the 15th day of April, and we praise God for including us in this day. Of course, this is indeed the day that He's made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. So we're going to be in the 17th chapter tonight of Leviticus as we prepare to move through this time together tonight. Just let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that everything is coming through fine. Of course, last week we had some technical difficulties. Hopefully that's been ironed out, and we just want someone to let us know as we prepare for tonight that you're getting a clear signal. All right, but 17th chapter of Leviticus, moving right through, and we praise God for just all that He's done, all that He's doing, and all that He will do. And we're certainly grateful to be a part of what's going to happen. We just believe and we know that our faith is going to increase tonight, and we're standing eagerly anticipating the next move of God and what He's going to do. And so we believe that some powerful things are yet in store, because His promises are sure and His satisfaction is yet guaranteed. He says that in His word that He would never leave us nor forsake us.
That's the word.
He said He'd be with us always, even until the end. And so we know that His promises are sure and His satisfaction is guaranteed. So even as we prepare for tonight, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll jump right in. I think there are about, how many verses? About
16 or
17. 16 verses here in the 17th chapter of Leviticus. So let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together. God, we're extremely grateful for this day. We do thank You for our lives. We thank You for saving, for healing, and delivering. We thank You, God, for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us and encouraging us along this journey. We're grateful for those that work with us and that support us and support the work of ministry as we go forth and try to do what You would have for us to do. And we're certainly grateful for Your keeping power and for You continuing to sustain us. We know that You're not finished with us yet and that there's still yet more that You have in store. And so, God, even as we prepare for this time together, as we look into this 17th chapter of Leviticus, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love You and we honor You and we thank You for being our God. We pray to the Lord even in advance that needs are going to be met, that lives are going to be changed, that somebody even tonight through this virtual audience will be delivered and set free. And so we're believing that that's going to happen even tonight. And so we thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and praise God. All right, somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal there. I'm trying to see a couple of people are on. Are y'all getting a good signal tonight? Can y'all hear us? Okay. I guess that's an indication that you can. Well, Lady Kim, you want to share with us a little bit about what you experienced in the worship service on yesterday as we prepare for this time together? I tell you, God is so faithful and He's kind, and we give Him praise for even allowing us to be a part of what He's doing in the earth realm.
Amen.
So share with us a little bit about, did you get any notes yesterday?
I took a few notes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the it was a powerful word from the Lord on yesterday. God was truly in the place. And the sermon title was, Can I Get a Witness? They say you're coming in loud and clear. Can I get a witness? You know, and it was a unique sermon, I might say, and how you ended it all, but you came from Acts, the first chapter, the first 9 verses, where it talks about the former treatises have I made, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after which He, through the Holy Ghost, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, okay. which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Okay.
Well, that's a word right there where you can shout off of right there, a passage of scripture that is so powerful. Can I get a witness when you mention that, when it says, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so this tone, you know, sets the text for what is about to happen. You know, it was set 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And here it is that Jesus shows himself to the apostles. And he showed them his hands, the prints in his hands, the nail prints in his feet, you know, the piercing in his side, just so they could believe. And he told them to wait right where they were until the Holy Ghost came upon them, so that they can do something that they had never been able to do before. He was going to send them the Holy Ghost, which would give them the power to carry his word and do miracles. And so the disciples needed to understand the task that was ahead of them. And the message has to match the ministry. The message that Jesus gave had to match what they were doing out there in the world.
Okay.
And so we have to receive that same power to do the work. And our witness should match our lifestyle. Our beliefs should match our actions. We're not just called to come to church, but we're called to be the church. Amen. So a lot of people think that they just should show up on Sunday mornings and sit and soak in everything and then go home, and that's it. But God is not just calling us to come to church. He's calling us to be the church. And that when we're talking about being the church, we're talking about the actions that our lifestyle, that our beliefs should match our actions. That our purpose is to let our light shine and to be witnesses of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You also talk about how our demeanor determines the direction of our witness, that our witness should be uplifting, and our witness should be vertical and not horizontal. It should be uplifting and should not be a put down. Our witness should be one that expresses the love of Jesus and how we are to love others as God has loved us. And so our witness, the witness of our belief in God, ought to start at home. Amen. And you talked about, you know, some of us may have left people at home. We didn't leave nobody home but the dogs. So some people left people at home in the bed sleep that needed to be brought to church. Amen. When I was coming up, my mother wouldn't let us sleep in. Everybody in the house had to get up and go to church. It wasn't no such thing as somebody staying at home. Our witness should start at home. It should be evident everywhere we go. It should be evident on the inside. It should be evident on the outside. And, you know, there's a difference between a testimony and a witness, you see. And a testimony is about us, but a witness is about Jesus. It's Jesus-focused, Christ-focused. So we have to make that distinction also. And so the direction of our witness is also up and out. So there was a lot that
You got a lot of notes.
Yesterday.
You said you just had a few notes. That's a lot. That's great. I was just getting a refresher as you were talking. That's powerful because it was clear and it was evident to me in that 8th verse that Jesus was very specific about the purpose for them receiving the Holy Spirit and their witness for him. Because many times people think that it's about the evidence of tongues, which that's a part of it. Many times people think it's about the dance or the shout. But he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. Mm-hmm. And so that's the part where it comes in about the testimony and the witness, you know. And so it's obvious that many times when people get up and start sharing their testimonies, that they get caught up in who they are and what they, you know, it's me, my, I, you know, my four, and never really get around to talking about the centrality, the central focus of what the testimony is all about. And so it should be about what Christ has done in you and how God has made a way and how he has provided, how he has delivered. Because really, Lady Kim, as you indicated, we're nothing without God, and we're here for a purpose. And our relationship with God, first of all, has to be intact before we can have proper relationship with those horizontal relationships with others. And so you can look at a person, you don't have to try to judge, but if they are having issue with the way they treat people, then it can be a clear indication that it will signal back to their relationship with God. Because our behavior, as you said, ought to match our belief. And so, yeah, that's a powerful sermon, a powerful passage of scripture. Jesus was still walking the earth. Isn't that amazing? Some 40 days after the resurrection, and he was making sure that they were clear before he ascended, that they understood the importance and the significance of the task. My good friend John Tunstall, and I believe he's on tonight, he was the inspiration and encouragement. I told him, you know, I'll give him credit the first time, but the second time, you know, he won't probably get any credit, but I'm giving him a little bit here tonight because, you know, the direction, the way in which we focus our attention, the duration, the longevity of the witness. And then the last one, do you remember what it was?
The dynamic.
So it should be like dynamite, right?
Yeah.
It should be an excitement that happens. There's three D's right there. Mm-hmm. You could probably add some more. But it should be some excitement about our witness. And we ought not walk around as if we've forgotten about what the Lord has done for us. And that is to let our light shine that others might be able to see God moving and working in our lives. So I thank my good friend. Are you there, Dr. John Tunstall?
Mm-hmm.
I thank my good friend for just kind of giving me motivation. That's a powerful passage because, you know, we settle in sometimes, and I talked about it a little bit last week after the Easter celebration, and then we focus more on it being an event than it being an experience. Mm-hmm. And so it should be an everlasting experience. And that Holy Ghost power is what we need. And it was obvious in this text that the disciples needed it in order for them to be effective in the ministry that they were getting ready to perform. And so it was a major, major component, and they needed to hear this. They were a little thrown off track because they started asking about, Lord, will you rebuild the kingdom and rebuild Jerusalem and all of that. And but Jesus wanted to make sure that they understood before he left that he would provide for them the power that they needed in order for them to accomplish. Because it was in that second chapter of Acts that they were in the upper room. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And the Spirit came in and they began to speak in other tongues and they saw things that they hadn't seen before. And and when they left that upper room, the ministry really got started for the church. Peter stood up and began to preach. It was that same Peter who had denied Christ. When the Spirit got him, he began to share a message that some 3,000 souls, the Bible says, came. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the work began. And so the same is true for us. We cannot deny the fuel. I talked about that Holy Ghost gas.
Holy Ghost gas. Yeah, yeah, I had mentioned that too. I had this written down too.
Well, yeah.
Yes. It says the duration of our witness is for all times. That, you know, sometimes we run out of Holy Ghost gas.
Right, right, right.
And how do you know when you're running out of Holy Ghost gas?
Right.
You know, so you gave some examples of that.
Yeah. So just like with your car, anytime or you're on low, you either got to get the car to where the gas is or you got to get the gas to where the car is. And really, our filling station or our service station, our gas station, however you want to phrase it, when we were growing up, we called it the filling station. What did y'all used to call it?
Filling station.
So,
well, either one, filling station, gas station.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that, you remember that were full service stations back in the day.
Yeah, they're, when we were growing up, there wasn't any self-serve.
No.
They were all full-serve. And you get your gas, and they would check your oil for you. And
that's right.
All
clean your
of
windows.
That. Yeah, wash your windows
check your
off.
Tires.
Yeah.
And so, no. That,
now you do it all yourself.
You got to do all that yourself. And that's just like when you go to the supermarket now, some stores. You're going to check it out yourself. They'll be standing over there looking at you. And many times don't want to come unless they just have to. To help and
now,
assist.
But now in the grocery store, you have to check yourself out, put your stuff in the bag.
Yeah.
You have to get your own cart and all of that. You know, pay for a cart, take the cart back, get your money back if you want your money back. I'm telling you, where has service gone?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So but God is a full service
He's a
God.
Full service God.
He never takes shortcuts.
That is right there.
Hallelujah. He gave us gas that'll last. But we got to fill up. We got to get
good.
Some Holy Ghost gas, but we got to go to the filling station.
Let me write
station.
That down. He'll give us gas
that'll last.
That's right. That's good. And so when we come to church, that's our filling station. And we have to make sure that we are consistent in our attendance in the worship experience. Something different happens when we're in person than people who are not in the house can experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be evident that we're having a great time when you're viewing it, but when you're participating and when you are fueling the fire, when you are energized and excited, it's a different kind of feeling than it is when you're watching it virtually.
Amen.
Would you agree?
That's true. That's true. Sister Loretta said they used to call it service station. Her grandkids always ask, what's a service station? Because we used to get service.
Get service,
so
that's
it's
right.
Not a service station anymore because we don't get no service.
No.
It's a self-service station
that's
now.
That's right. You got to do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's key. Just like when you were talking about growing up, I know you had different backgrounds and affiliations as you were growing up. So what time did Mass start? Was that the indicator for your family in terms of going to service? Or was it the AME? Or was it CME?
I don't even remember
what time we went to church. Where were you?
You were crossing the line now.
All right.
Walk lightly.
Well.
No, we grew up, I grew up in the Catholic Church because my mother wanted us to go to the Catholic school. In order to go to Catholic school, you had to belong to that church. But my grandparents on one side were Baptist, and on the other side, they were AME.
Okay.
So we went to...
And Catholic mixed all up in
there
together.
We went to all that church. We had all church. And then in the summertime, whoever had vacation Bible school, we went to everybody's vacation Bible school. I told somebody we went mostly because they served lunch.
I know, right?
We want to make sure we ate lunch that day. But we went to everybody's vacation Bible school, the Holiness Church and the Church of God in Christ.
Around the corner. The
sanctified church. They called it everything. Whatever church had Vacation Bible School, we were there. Yeah. As long as they was preaching Jesus, my mama would say, all right. And they would have it different weeks, too.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be amazing. And Vacation Bible School.
It lasts almost the whole summer.
So, yes, those were the good old days.
What is Dr. Quali? She has a comment.
She said, as a matter of fact, that might be why we are low on spiritual maturity. We're waiting on God to come out and fill us. That's true. While we sit and chill, while he washes the windshield, pumps the gas, mm-hmm. and offers us a car wash.
Yeah, so we got to go get it. And I think the importance is making sure that we understand the mission, the ministry, and the message that Christ was trying to instill in the 12 and the disciples, so that we too have that same charge and that same challenge, so that ministry will be effective. And it really won't last long if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. And sometimes we have to just sit and wait for to be endowed with that power, so that our mission and our ministry and even our personal objectives will be effective in terms of what God has called for us to do.
Amen.
Yes. Any other comments there?
No.
Good to see each of you on the call tonight, and those who are on the streaming side. We're certainly grateful for your participation and your cooperation here tonight. It looks like everything is moving forward with the signal tonight. But those of you just joining us, anything else you want to share about yesterday before we move forward?
No, it was just an awesome time in the Lord. And I'm sure everybody went home feeling like they needed to bear witness.
Okay.
Of the goodness of
Okay.
Jesus.
Okay. And we didn't get a chance to go to the nursing home on yesterday, but we got worried that it was an exceptional day there as well. One of our ministers, I don't know if Minister Loretha is on tonight.
Yeah, she's there.
I heard that she did an excellent job, but I had had an opportunity to read over the sermon. It may have changed from the time I read it Saturday to the time that she preached it on Sunday afternoon, but we praise God for all of our ministers. We have an awesome, I guess an awful, awesome, not awful, but an awesome gifted ministry corps at ATOP. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
A variety of expertise, a variety of skill sets, and it's almost, I think it's kind of completing the full circle of the fivefold ministries of the church.
Amen.
Because we have evangelists, we have teachers and pastors and preachers of the gospel, and it's amazing how God sets things in order, you know, because who would have ever thought? Some people were elsewhere, maybe even 10 years ago, and sometimes even less time than that. But here they are now, acknowledging their call to ministry, involved in the work of the church. Some people had different lifestyles that they were living, but God had a way of arranging things so that now they are positioning themselves to fulfill the work of Christ. And so we are humbled by that, and Reverend Al Blanks did an excellent job with the prayer on yesterday. I think that was his first time doing the pastoral prayer. And of course, everything was flowing and the anointing was present. And so we praise God for all of our ministers and all of our pastors. We have three pastors on staff, and, you know, they let me preach every now and then, but I'm grateful for our executive pastor. She's getting ready to defend her dissertation on tomorrow.
Who is that?
And so we need to make sure at 5:00 tomorrow, for those of you who didn't hear it on yesterday, Lady Kim is, you see that big thing right there? You in the spirit, that's going to be lifted off of her shoulder tomorrow. You can't see. You can't. You got to be in the spirit to see it. Now you see my hand, but that's going to be lifted off of her tomorrow as she defends. And as I was telling her, nobody can better defend your dissertation than you. And so we're going to be praying for the First Lady. If you have a minute tomorrow around 5 o'clock, is that right?
5 p.m.
5 p.m., just call her name.
Amen.
Because she will, that's right, it's going to be Dr. Kim. How do you want to be called? You want to be called Dr. Kim or Dr. Murray? Or you want me to I'll decrease now. I don't have a problem. I could be Pastor Murray.
Whatever they want to call me.
But
don't call me late for dinner.
Don't call you late for dinner.
Don't call me late for any meal.
Dr. Kim has a nice ring to it. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dr. Kim, how you doing, Dr. Kim? You like that?
That's fine.
You got to get used to it now because you got to embrace that. You follow me? This is not something you gave $300 for and put in the mail. This is an earned three-and-a-half-year degree.
Ooh, long three-and-a-half.
So you got to embrace this.
Yes.
Come on, y'all give God some praise for the First Lady.
Amen.
Y'all give God some thumbs up as she's getting ready to defend on tomorrow. And after that, it's a done deal.
Wednesday morning.
It's over.
What's my name going to be?
Dr. Kim in the house. That's it.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
It. So we praise God for that. And it doesn't seem to me like it's been 3.5 years, but
it
I know you can feel this, the toil of going through that process.
Yeah, and I got they sent me some revisions today.
Did they? Mm-hmm. For your defense on tomorrow?
Yes.
But it's something that you
It's something minor that I have to do, like my cover page, and they said I needed to take the numbers off of
some of the other
pages. So it's minor, and then I have to resubmit tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So,
All right. Dr. Olu told you about it. Couple of years ago,
when I first started, she said you're gonna look around and it's gonna all be over with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she said you're gonna look back on it, it's gonna all be over with. And she's right. I'm gonna look back and it's gonna be over with.
I'm gonna have to have somebody come over here and add on another room because I'm telling you, it's
why,
all.
Why? Huh?
That's all right. I'm not going to get myself in trouble tonight. I see how your eyebrows are all raised up.
Add on another room for what?
To be able to contain all of this.
Oh, please. We ain't using half the room. We need to downsize. That's what we need
to do. Come on, let's get into this word.
Yes, we need to get into the word.
Right, but
thank
congratulations.
Thank you so much. To God be the glory. It's been a long 3.5 years, but the end is finally
My. Can you see yourself?
I can see
crossing
myself.
The line, River.
Yes.
Can you
yes.
see it?
And to the young people, don't wait till you old folks to do it now. Your mind is not as sharp when you're older. But to God be the glory, I made it.
All right. Well, we're excited, and we're looking forward to the graduation, which will take place in May the 11th. Is it the 11th?
Yes, May 11th.
And so we're excited about that, and we praise God for the journey and for all the things that you have learned and that will be imparted into the work of the ministry and how God is going to continue to elevate you to do great things.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's jump into this 17th chapter of Leviticus. There are only a few verses there, about 17 verses.
16
verses. Mm-hmm. And one of the things here, Lady Kim, and you might want to just read half of it and then we can talk about it. But I think what God is doing now, he's raising a higher standard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really trying to get things established. And part of what is happening as well is that once the desired relationship to God was established, then he's trying to make sure that it's maintained.
Right.
And when I read that, I was thinking about how oftentimes when we're stressed and when we're perplexed and when we're going through and we are praying and asking God to do something in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then once God delivers and once God comes through, it seems like our our desire is kind of lowered, or we don't have the same kind of enthusiasm and excitement that we had when we were seeking God.
Right.
People fast and pray, and people, you know, get serious about what they are believing God to do. And then once God blesses, once God heals, once God delivers, it seems like, and that's not everybody, but it just seems like people sometimes kind of forget about what the Lord has done. Because here it is now, each victory will help you some other to win. You know, it's not over until God says it's over, but there's still work that has to be done. And there are going to be other trials. There are going to be other tribulations. There are going to be other things that's going to try your faith. But the word is true where it says the trying of our faith is what worketh patience.
Yes.
And let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's James talking. And so we have to be mindful of that, that we have to continue to maintain the answered prayers after we have received what we've been praying for.
Amen.
I said a mouthful right there.
Yes, you did.
So that's a word for somebody. You got to maintain, you know, that consistency, and you got to maintain that attitude of gratitude and appreciation after your prayers have been answered. You got to continue to trust the timing of God, because you're going to be in another situation, and it won't be long that you're going to have to rely on that which got you out of that last situation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Dr. Pauline said that's what Minister Loretha preached yesterday. Don't forget to remember.
That's good. That's good.
Don't forget to remember.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
from whence God has brought you.
That's
remember
right.
Remember what God has done for you. Remember how he's supplied your needs. Remember how he brought you out of that situation.
That's
we
right.
We can't forget.
We can't forget.
Sometimes we get on the mountaintop, we forget from whence we've come.
That's right.
But one thing I will never forget is from whence God has brought us.
That's
as
right.
a church, as a family.
That's right. That's right.
You know, when I look back and see where we've come from, and starting in the hotel and not knowing where we would end up, God has been faithful.
That's right.
For 25 years, God has been faithful.
My. Look at
and
God.
And so we are thankful to God.
You're just
that.
Adding another year already, right?
Yes. Well, if you think about it.
It has been, yeah.
It's almost 25 years. Because,
already.
Yes, because when we went into prayer about what it was that we were going to do, you know, it was about August, July or August.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have a couple of more months, and it'll be 25 years that we went into prayer and contemplation about what it was that we were going to do, you know. And, you know, we formulated really in August and September. We started meeting as a group. And planning.
Paying our tithes.
And planning for ATOP.
Planning,
so
really, visioning.
Really, it's really all started. The foundation, the first brick was laid in August.
Okay.
Of 1999. So,
That's history for somebody out there.
Yeah.
Now, you need to get that in your spirit, because God has been consistent. Mm-hmm. He's been faithful. He's blessed beyond measure. Not just in our personal ministry with the church, but in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. You know, when I first met the First Lady, I took her down to...
okay. He always
all right.
tells
I'm not,
this
I'm
tale.
All right.
No,
I'm
but
all right.
I'm going to divert from that.
All right. See,
and,
she,
you
was,
know,
she cut me off, but that's all right. Y'all go ahead.
You know, I told somebody the other day, God didn't call us to be... I told somebody I wasn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier,
mm-hmm.
you know. But God didn't tell me to be the brightest bulb in the chandelier. He told me to just shine.
Wow.
You know, just shine a little bit.
Hey, you preaching today, Lady Kim.
You know, he has those other little dim lights, and other little dim lights all together, we shine bright.
That's right.
So
that's
God
right.
doesn't call us to be the brightest in the bulb in the chandelier. I'm looking at this light.
Chandelier up there, yeah.
You know, it has, what, six lights in it? Three, five light bulbs
right,
in it?
Right.
You know, and if four of them go out, we still going to have some light.
Right.
It's not going to be really, really bright, but
right.
we still going to have some light. So God didn't call us to be the brightest bulb. He just told us to shine.
Okay.
And when we shine, then God will do the rest.
That's good.
He'll be the other four light bulbs for us.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's good. So we got to let our light shine in such a way that others might be able to see God moving and working in our life. That's mm-hmm. part of the sermon from yesterday, too, that relates to that. Mm-hmm. But I won't tell that story that I was starting to tell before you told us about that. Don't pinch me under the... people can see you pinching me, Lady Kim. But we're in the 17th chapter of Leviticus, and we were talking about how once the desired relationship with God has been established, and this is key for all of us, that it must be maintained. Don't let your light go out. Don't put it under a bushel.
Amen.
But let it shine and be consistent. Be making sure. Make sure that you are setting your light where it can be attracted to others to come in out of darkness to the marvelous light.
Amen.
So he's dealing with holiness and behavior in this particular chapter, and as well as talking about food and the preparation and what they should offer as sacrifice unto idols, unto devils. I think that's what it says in that particular
demons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was researching, they did a lot of goat sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
you know, back then, and they sacrificed to demons.
Mm-hmm.
So, it warns against those types of sacrifices.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's read the first. You said it's only 16.
16.
Yeah. Let's read the first 8 and let's see what's happening there.
All right. The Message Bible stops. It goes from 1-7.
Okay, we'll pick it up there. 1-7.
Yes, I think I had. And then my outline says 1-9 talks about the laws regarding the place of sacrifice.
Okay.
1-9 talks about the place of sacrifice. And then verses 10-16 talk about the prohibition against eating blood.
Mm-hmm,
so that's
mm-hmm.
the whole chapter, how
okay.
it's outlined. So would you like me to go from 1-7?
Yes.
All right. It says, God, we're in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading from the Message Bible tonight because, you know, I read from different translations to try to get a better understanding of what it is saying. God spoke to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and all the Israelites. Tell them, this is what God commands. Any and every man who slaughters an ox or a lamb or a goat inside or outside the camp instead of bringing it to the entrance of the tent of meetings to offer it to God in front of the dwelling of God, that man is considered guilty of bloodshed. He has shed blood and must be cut off from his people. This is so the Israelites will bring to God the sacrifices that they're in the habit of sacrificing out in the open fields. They must bring them to God and the priest at the entrance of the tent of meetings and sacrifice them as peace offerings to God. The priest will splash the blood on the altar of God at the entrance to the tent of meetings and burn the fat as a pleasing fragrance to God. They must no longer offer their sacrifices to goat demons, a kind of religious orgy. This is a perpetual decree down through the generations."
Wow, that's deep, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's the backstory of what people were doing that we really oftentimes don't see in the detail of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And many times... It's those things that occur in the culture
mm-hmm.
that they try to align themselves with
mm-hmm.
and try to be living for Christ and living in the world at the same
right.
time.
Right. And, you know, we don't think of it as idolatry.
Right.
You know, but people, you know, whatever you put in place of God
mm-hmm.
is an idol.
Okay.
You know, you used to say some years ago, some men idolize their cars.
Right.
You know, they stay at home on Sunday and wash their cars instead of going to church. And so that car can become an idol,
mm-hmm.
an idol God. So there was a lot of idol worshiping, but God demanded that he be the one and true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted the sacrifices to go towards him. Right. And the sacrifices were an atonement for their sins and their wrongdoing. So God told them not to do those offerings outside of the tent of meeting.
Right.
So they were to bring it to the house of God and offer those sacrifices there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were doing just the opposite, obviously. And so many times when you see instructions being implied, it's to reinforce the message that was already set in motion. And then somebody, no doubt, took it and went another direction with it.
Right.
And so that's good. And it had to be rooted out and destroyed, or you cut out whatever the different phrases they would use to give people a clear indication of what God required and what God did not want.
Right.
What did I say that right? Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. And what he did not want. So he was really raising the standard here, mm-hmm. and putting things in order. And as we said at the beginning, that the desired relationship with God had already been established, and now he was reinforcing that relationship so that it can be maintained.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And our relationship with God must be maintained.
Right.
And
right.
How we maintain it is by worshiping and praising him, mm-hmm. and giving him the focus,
that's right.
of our attention.
Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto us. That's Matthew 6:33. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking as you were talking earlier about when Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, he stopped at the temple and he ran all of the money changers out of the temple. I think that was on the second or the third day during that Holy Week. Mm-hmm. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Mm-hmm. And so the emphasis there is on what we have made it.
Mm.
And so many times we make it something other than what it's supposed to be.
That's right.
And that's when God is angry. And so we have to be clear in terms of understanding what God wants and what he requires. He said, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it. And so you can start filling that in however you want to. It might not be a den of thieves. It might be, a house of singing, you know. It might be a house of selling chicken dinners.
Hmm.
He said, but you made it into something other than what it's supposed to be.
Right.
Right, right. And so that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about how
you had made it into a concert hall.
A concert hall, yeah.
A lot of people go to churches because they have good singing, you mm-hmm. know, or that's their major focus.
Right.
You know, but God didn't call you to go to church, you know, just for the singing. He called you there for the word.
Yeah.
So that you can get filled with the word to go out and do his work. Let the word do the work.
Let the word do the
let
work.
Let the word do the work.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Don't make it just a house of whatever.
Entertainment.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
See who can buck and kick and right. shout the loudest this Sunday.
Right.
You know, God is not pleased with that.
Okay, that's good, Lady Kim. We're in Leviticus, for those of you who are joining, the 17th chapter. Lady Kim just finished reading the first 7 verses, and we were giving explanation to some of the things that happened there in relevance to us for us today.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go ahead and pick it up. What does that next portion of
8,
the Message Bible take you?
8 through the end of the chapter.
Okay.
It says, tell them, any Israelite or foreigner living among them who offers a whole burnt offering or a peace offering, but doesn't bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to sacrifice it to God, that person must be cut off from his people. If any Israelite or foreigner living among them eats blood, I will disown that person and cut him off from his people. For the life of an animal is in the blood. I have provided the blood for you to make atonement for your lives on the altar. It is the blood, the life, that makes atonement. That's why I tell the people of Israel, don't eat blood. The same goes for the foreigner who lives among you. Don't eat blood. Any and every Israelite. This also goes for the foreigners who hunts down an animal or a bird that is edible. Must bleed it and cover the blood with dirt. Wow. Because the life of every animal is its blood. The blood is its life. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell the Israelites, don't eat the blood of any animal, because the life of every animal is its blood. Anyone who eats the blood must be cut off. Mm. Verse number 15, anyone, whether native or foreigner, who eats from an animal that is found dead or mutilated, must wash his clothes and bathe in water. He remains unclean until evening and is then clean. If he doesn't wash or bathe his body, he'll be held responsible for his actions.
Wow. That's deep, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's a lot there. That's almost, I was thinking about that roadkill when you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. When they find something that, a slain animal or that has died, and then they pick that up and they decide they're going to try to consecrate that. But that blood, the whole thing about the lifeline of the blood, I think it represents the life, not only it carries life of the blood through the body, mm-hmm. but it represents the life of the soul. Mm. And so that's part of what the backstory is with that, because sometimes people get engaged in things that a transference happens. And you end up getting negativity where you're trying to create positivity. Mm. Did I say that right?
You create negativity when you're trying to create positivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying not to say what I really want to say. That's what I'll go ahead and say it. When people engage in sexual activity, mm-hmm. that really is not ordained by God, and then they start transferring fluids and all of that into another person, mm-hmm. and that can create a whole nother, a whole nother situation in terms of behavior as well as the way they have all of this inside of them.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just talking right now. I don't know, unless you want to go ahead and straighten that up.
No, I can't straighten that. Okay.
But it's a negativity that happens.
I see what you're trying mm-hmm, to say. Mm-hmm. You know,
it has to do with the blood that's carried through the body. Mm-hmm. That's the lifeline of an individual. And fluids and blood kind of flow together and in sync as they go through the body. Mm-hmm. And so really many times, many times what can happen is that that same blood that flows through the body represents the life or the soul of an individual.
Mm-hmm. And so Pastor Qualis, Dr. Qualis says soul ties, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it creates soul ties. And, you know, when you were talking about that, when you said straighten it up, the only thing I can think of is that women are emotional, okay. And men are more, they're thinkers. Mm-hmm. Not that women aren't thinkers. I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. But women are emotional, and then, you know, when you submit to a man that's not your husband sexually, then there's a tie there, emotional okay. tie mm-hmm. That women have. And so it's hard to break those emotional ties. They become attached or attracted emotionally. That's why God says not to be celibate, you know, until mm-hmm. you find your mate, because you don't want those soul ties
to be connected
because mm-hmm. they may be negative.
Right.
You know, that's they may be trying. Negative soul right. ties right. and you don't want to be connected to a person in a negative way.
And all of that has to do with even deeper with hereditary I guess, kind of characteristics that are attached to the family line in terms of what is transferred as well, you know.
It's funny that you say that, because the other day I was reading something and it was saying that some people were petitioning the courts, or they want to make a law where first cousins can marry. I was like, they put that in place for a reason,
right?
Because of, you know, DNA,
right.
You know, different things, you know, mental illness and a lot of things. I was like, nah, I don't think.
And I think they improved. They passed that.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I don't think so. I didn't see where they passed it. Mm-hmm. I think they put it, the motion on the floor. But
okay, no, but that didn't pass.
Right.
What did Dr. Qualley say in there?
In her studies, the definition of the blood that stuck with her is the seat of life.
The seat of life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The blood is the seat
right,
of life.
Right, right,
yes.
Right.
And that's why Christ had to shed his blood on
the
cross.
That's it. That's
because of the lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Minister Al says it's cerebral.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The male is cerebral and the female is emotional.
Right,
thank you,
right.
Brother Minister Al. Yes, the man is cerebral and the woman is emotional. So the man thinks and the woman feels.
Mm-hmm.
And that
doesn't mean that women are not thinkers.
Right,
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 right.
Yes.
Right.
Transference of the family line, that's powerful. Go ahead and expound on that, Pastor.
Because really, that's the DNA. That's when you get to that DNA piece. And many times, even in premarital counseling, they are so giddy and so happy and so excited about, you know, being connected, but they don't talk about the connections that they're about to connect with in terms of their family background and their family, DNA and what they bring to the table. And so, one person on this side of the room, another on the other side of the room, all of that is sitting in the middle of the table that many times go undiscussed about issues, about things that they witness, even about behaviors that happen in their family that is many times a label or a mark in their spirit that can't be dismissed if it's not talked about or it's not discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will start reacting out of what they have seen versus trying to shape their own patterns for existence and for their own patterns for behavior with the person that they are getting ready to marry.
Amen.
And so if a person that's sitting on the opposite side of the table that came out of an abusive situation, then that's all. That's in the back of their mind the whole time. They're waiting on that kind of thing to happen because that's all they've seen. And if this person on this side is out of a situation where there is substance abuse or alcoholism or, you know, whatever it might be, then many times that will be in their subconscious. And if something triggers that, then that's how they're going to respond based upon what they have witnessed growing up.
Okay.
And our good friend, Dr. Holmes, he was an expert in terms of breaking that down, you know, in terms of how people need to understand patterns and also behaviors and what they have experienced and what they have seen in the household, because people obviously mirror that when they get involved in a relationship themselves.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, that's a family month. That's your topic. It's in the DNA.
I know, right?
It's in the DNA.
It's in the DNA.
When is family month?
It's in June.
June. Family month. All right.
That's a series right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our time is getting away from us, Lady Kim, and I know we kind of took a left turn there and went down the hill and had people throwing me a lifeline there to get me up out of that hole that I had dug, but I praise God for the direction that God leads us in and
Amen.
How he brings clarity to everything.
Amen. And I think that's how God wants us to flow, you know, because at the end of the day, it was talking about sacrifices, the sacrifices for sin, how it needed to be brought to the tent of meeting, and about the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can kind of wrap that up by saying that I'm so thankful, and we say this since we've been in the book of Leviticus, that we no longer have to offer sacrifices for our sins. But we do have to confess our sins. The Bible says, confess your sins, confess your faults one to another. But we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins.
That's right.
And his word says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's it.
And he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness because his blood was shed on Calvary to redeem us, or to bring us back into right relationship with the Father, with him. And it also washes away our sins. So we no longer need to sacrifice goats and lambs and rams and turtle doves and pigeons, because the high priest, Jesus Christ, shed his blood that covers all of our sins. All we have to do is go before him and ask for forgiveness of our sins.
There's power.
And so there's power in the blood.
Wonder working power.
Hallelujah. It reaches from the highest mountain. It flows through the lowest valley. Yet the blood will never, ever lose its power.
You can preach that this Sunday.
Not this Sunday. Another, in the future.
Oh, okay.
In the future.
In the near future.
In the future. All right.
That's the title right there, in the future.
In the future.
All right, let's wrap it up, Reverend. We're right at the hour, top of the hour.
Yes, we are. And so if there are any prayer requests, we can...
you want me to tell them that story I was going to tell, but you don't want me to do that. All right, that's a signal.
Ain't no story to tell.
Ain't no story. Ain't no story to tell.
Because it's just that. It's a story.
Check with me.
It's a story.
Check with me when you see me.
It's a story. and it changes every time he tells it. All right. So we want to lift up the Mother Pearl Manning and her family, the Rucker family, Minister Georgia and Brother Maurice Rucker, in the loss of their nephew. Such a tragedy. He was a star basketball player, senior in high school, getting ready to graduate, playing basketball, and had heart failure. And so that funeral was this past weekend in Clarksville, Tennessee, one or the other. But we're lifting that family up in our prayers. Such devastation. And so we want to continue to lift up Brother Jerry Frazier and his family and the loss of his sister. That funeral was a couple of weeks ago, as well as Dr. Butler and the loss of her sister, which was a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, I don't care if it's a week or 2 weeks, a day, 2 months, 10 years, you still feel the impact,
the sting
of death. It gets better over a while. It's Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you, Minister Al. The sting of death never completely goes away.
No.
And so we lift up prayers. And then we lift up prayers for those who are on our sick and shut-in list. We're praying for their health and well-being, and that God will continue to bless them and keep them during their time of illness.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, will you go ahead and close us out with a word of prayer then, as we getting ready to close out this time together?
Sure. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you. For you alone, God, are worthy to be praised. We ask, God, that as we close this study on tonight, that you would go before us. You would make the crooked places straight. You bring the high mountains low. You allow us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for we fear no evil because we know that you are with us. So God, as we close this Bible study tonight, we pray for the bereaved families. We pray for our sick and shut in. We pray, oh God, for the dissertation defense on tomorrow. We pray, God, for any upcoming tests that people might have, upcoming surgeries. We pray, oh God, for our church. We pray for our pastor. We ask that you will continue to lead us and guide us as a church by your Holy Spirit. We lift up, oh God, everything, oh God, that is before us as a church family. And we ask, God, that you would just provide all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for what you've done in our church. Continue to grow us, keep us, change us to be better people of God. It's in the name of Jesus that we give thanks and praise. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining in Bible study tonight. See you on Sunday. We have nothing this weekend. Not that I can think of.
I don't think so.
All right.
Inspirational moment in the morning.
Inspirational moment in the morning at 7 o'clock. And then intercessory prayer Wednesday evening at 8:30. Good night, everybody.
Be blessed.
Bye.